this was to kind of refocus and reset on what drives the church forward under the mission and purpose which Jesus has given to it. But another part to this conversation is we are kind of a unique animal in the context of who we are, where we have three sites that make up one church. And over the last year and a half, couple years, there's been a few hundred other people that have kind of joined our church family. And they, I know, are trying to figure some of these things out because it's not like what they know. And part of it is to have a morning where we just talk a little bit about who we are as a church family and how we have organized ourselves around the very purpose that Jesus has laid down for us. So to get us going this evening, I want to just say thank you for the Christmas cards that you and your family gave to us kind of this Christmas season. Often when you send the cards with your family on it, Amy has this string that hangs through our kitchen and our living room where we put the cards on, and we will often pray for your families. If your picture's not there, we don't pray for you. Just kidding. But often it's just a visual reminder that, and what I found interesting this year, it is the first time in a long time where there wasn't a card that had one of these phrases in it, where in the past some would say, Dear Father Phil, or I'm so thankful that you're my priest, or something in that space. And I love the fact that we come from traditions all over the map, and that you really don't know what I am, and that some of those phrases and terms are connected to similar jobs in different places. But I've always found that kind of funny in the purest sense of the word. But when I think of some of the other titles that you would find in the scriptures, there are titles of elder, there's titles of bishop, pastor, minister, deacon, overseer, and the list can go on and on and on. What I find interesting is in the New Testament, in many ways, as you read through the letters of Paul and others, you will find all of these terms kind of woven into the language of these letters as he's addressing issues in the church. And what some try to suggest is that these terms are all, and I want you to hear the nuance of this, that these are unique offices that existed in every single first century church, and that somehow within the first 5 to 10 years of the church, there was a well-defined org chart that had clear descriptions as to who was to do what in offices and terms and so on and so forth, which in a very weird way for you teachers out there, when we build arguments from silence, we create spaces that can bring harm into people's lives. This would be an argument from silence that, yes, these terms are all woven into the text of Scripture, but to suggest that somehow that everywhere we see, we would see a fully developed organizational chart as to how the churches have organized themselves would be a stretch to say the least. Most who study the Scriptures would talk about these terms as though they're interchangeable terms with interchangeable responsibilities. To give you a very good example of this, in Acts chapter 6, this is often where the arguments from silence begin. Luke is writing and he describes that there's this moment in the early church where the apostles are doing their thing and there are some widows that need to be served, so they find 7 men to then go serve them. And in this list is Philip and Stephen, these two particular I want to highlight. So this role is often like called the birth of the deacon, the one who serves in church. And what's curious is if you keep on reading in Acts chapter 6, it is Stephen who's on trial and is killed, not because he serves tables, but because he's in fact teaching things of Christ. They get him in serious trouble. So although has the role of deacon he serves, he also is a significant teacher in the early church. You keep on going to a guy named Philip, the one I'm named after. Philip, again, a deacon, one who serves in the church, but was a tremendous evangelist. That's what he's known for. So it's a scary space to try to create systems and arguments around these terms as though they were fully developed, well thought through organizational charts. The simplest way that we can describe the early church is that there were people who were in positions of overseeing others, and then there were people who were in the positions of being oversawn by these people. we call them the flock. Luke tells us this in Acts chapter 14, 21 to 26 particularly. Paul and Barnabas, they go through this Asia Minor area and they appoint elders, overseers in local churches. It happens in Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, Derbe, a couple places I don't know how to pronounce, and Perga and another place I don't know how to pronounce. But there's nine of them that are here where they go and they appoint elders, these overseers, to watch over people that are coming to know Christ and are being shaped by the Holy Spirit in their lives. And the best job description that we would see of an overseer, of an elder, of a bishop, of a pastor, if you will, is really given to us by Peter. This is where this is even funnier. Peter is an apostle, but also plays the role of elder. And we'll put this text up on the screen. This is 1 Peter 5, 1 to 3. This is Peter writing to other elders, other overseers in the church. And he says this: "Now as an elder myself and a witness to the sufferings of Christ," that's what an apostle was, someone who witnessed this with their own eyes, "as well as one who shares in the glory to be revealed, I exhort the elders among you to tend to the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Do not lord it over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock." Now, I would simply say this. Since the birth of the church, there is no one model as to how the church is to be organized. There is no particular method that's better than another. There's no necessarily right or wrong. Since the birth of the church, we see churches all over the planet, dating back to when it first started, where people under the headship of Christ, led by the Holy Spirit, organized itself in unique ways, all trying to work away at the purpose by which Jesus has given it, to go out into the world, to teach, to baptize, to introduce people to this beautiful love of God that has been revealed in Christ and all that he has done for us. For our time this evening, these are moments in my life as a teacher pastor that I'd just soon not do these ones, but for our sense of community and togetherness as a church, we need to do this one. So in this same way as last week, kind of we're all in this together, we're going to talk a little bit about just who we are as a church and how we've organized ourselves. It's not better or worse. It's not the right or wrong way. It's just how, through the course of time, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, we have organized ourselves in a peculiar way so that you might see and feel how this all fits together as we work to accomplish the things that Jesus has asked us to do. So I know that for some of you, you're like, "I don't care about this at all." I'm like, okay, just pretend like you're interested. For others, you do. These things matter to you. You come from a church background. You're very interested in how all of this works. Some of you with great motivations, some of us with sinister motivations. I would sometimes find myself, and I have to be honest with my own heart issues, I can be in the sinister place. Like, when the questions I would ask would come from a space more of like trying to find faults and flaws in things. And I know that we love you and you're here and we'll work together through that. Some of you, well, you're here and this is not your dad's Buick kind of thing. Like, you grew up in church and it was a particular way where you voted on color of carpet and you voted on hymn books and those things. And like, that was a real thing that caused a lot of harm and a lot of damage in church life. And you're like, "You guys don't do any of that stuff here." Nope, we don't, because we actually think that is better than voting on colors of hymn books and those things. So tonight, we will spend some time working these things through together so that you might see how we have organized ourselves around the purposes that Jesus has given to us in this peculiar place called Cornerstone. So who we are, what we are, here's a bit of a graphic to help you see it. I'm a visual learner. Cornerstone is all of us. We have three sites, one in Cornwall, one in Stratford, one in Montague. Tyler and Pastor Gordon, they're doing the same thing right now in their sites, talking about these very things so that we might all get a sense of how this fits together. For some, we wrongfully think that Cornwall has planted Stratford and Montague, and they are ministry extensions of who we are, which is not accurate. It's all of us together. We, yes, have started it, but they're not ministries owned by Cornwall. These are things that we have done together. When Montague started, it was kind of Stratford and Cornwall together, kind of birthing a third site, if you will. And when we speak of Cornerstone, it is all three of our sites. You'll often hear us use terms like church-wide that describe this community that's gathering tonight at 4 o'clock here, Stratford, and in Montague, Sunday mornings, in the same spirit, in the same way, talking about the same themes through sermons, through small groups, as we want to love our people well, point them to Christ through the text of Scripture, and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that only He can do. Just by way of quick thumbnail history, Cornerstone was birthed in 1987, around Easter time, and for the first few years of its life, struggled to swim. When it was planted, there, as I understand the story, great first Sunday, and then no one else was around Sunday number two. And a struggle for those that were a part of the church family, worked hard to be faithful for the glory of God, and away they went. And through time, God began to act and move and work and draw, and it began to grow, and it began to grow. And some of you here tonight, you were here in those days, and you were a part of a real struggle and saw a real turn in all kinds of areas of its ministry. In 2006, Stratford was born, our Stratford site. And when I say our Stratford site, it's not Cornwall's Stratford site. It's our Cornerstone Stratford site began. And then in 2015, Montague kind of became part of the family because Montague Baptist, in a nutshell, basically said, we're done. We can't go any further. We don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. Would you help us? And through I thought it was a long time, but I tend to work through things quicker than most. But through a period of 8 months, they essentially closed up shop, gave us everything, all their bank accounts, all their buildings, and those weren't a lot, but just for, they kind of gave it all, and they absolved their charitable number, and 4 months after we closed its doors and did a bit of a renovation, Pastor Tyler was brought on staff and was kind of reopened Thanksgiving Day of 2015. When we speak of the whole thing, you will hear us use that phrase church-wide. We are three different bodies of people that gather together for the glory of God in three different locations, and all of us are equal partners in this equation of ministry. It's a beautiful thing to work together in this way, to know that right now, Pastor Gordon, with 80 or so in Stratford, that Pastor Tyler, if everyone were there, would have around 70. But when you think of, they were at 8 in 2015. And to see God slowly draw, and people have started to arrive and come to faith and see them get plugged into ministry, it's really exciting to see how Pastor Tyler and Haley and a few core people have done a lot of great work, and it's fun to see all of those things grow together for the glory of God. Now, when you think of our leadership, of who we are as a church family, again, on a church-wide level, we'll put this next slide up. I have to... Pastor Gordon did this graphic, so it's black text on dark blue background. Like, everyone in graphic design knows better than this. That's on Gordon. I'm trying to read my notes here. But I simply say that when you think of church-wide, there are really two large categories. There's the leadership side, and there's our resources side. And under leadership, it's our elders and pastors together. We have a missions board, we have a finance board, there's discipleship initiatives, and staff. And I love the fact that you are desperately trying to read that text, but this is how it all would kind of be organized. We have one elders board for the whole thing. So as we seek the Lord's direction, this ministry, this launch initiative that's in your bulletin, that's from the elders board to all three sites, as we are trying to seek the Lord's direction for what's next for us, given where we're at, given the spiritual realities, given attendance, given all kinds of things that we're working through. Every elder comes to the table as an equal, where we share. And I love the fact that we have an elders board that has strong minds. I love the fact that we have an elders board that can say no to me, that can say no to the staff, that they can say, we're not doing that, or let's do that, but move over a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right, or let's just wait for that, And I love the fact that we can engage in robust conversation and sometimes, get this, even heated conversation. And I love the fact that we leave there as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we understand that it's not a person is bad, but there are some ideas can be bad. I've floated ideas that are just bad ideas. Ask my wife. Just some bad ideas. And I need people to say, where were you when you thought of this? And sometimes that I wasn't in a very good place. Sometimes I was angry. Sometimes I was mad. Sometimes I was overly happy, whatever the case might be. But bad ideas can come forward. And I love the fact that our elders board is strong enough to have those dialogues together as we sort through God's leading on our life. We have a missions team, again, composed of people from all three sites as they shape where we get behind on a missional level, both locally and globally. Pastor Gordon kind of is the lead of that. But again, strong people, hearts for missions, and they shape the whole mission conversation together across all three sites. So the trip to Costa Rica, the Compassion El Salvador, that is from this group for our body across all three sites to get behind and throw our shoulder into to push it forward. We have discipleship initiatives across our boards, same thing. All three sites together, and you'll hear more of that at the annual meeting from Pastor Tyler particularly. We have a finance team with a treasurer, with three individuals, myself included, where they look at the whole thing on a finance level. How are we stewarding God's treasure well? Are we being responsible with what we have been given? And I remember the day, I think, Donna, you can probably think back to this day, where when she was building one of the budgets years ago, I said, I'm like, I don't care what the number is, but let's try not to exceed a weekly requirement of like $3,000. And now it bothers me in the sense of like, that's a lot, where it's almost close to almost $12,000 that we require every week to do the ministry that God has called us to here in this place. And our finance team are sharp. They're good with math. They love the Lord. And it's this constant sense of, are we handling the treasure well? Are we being good stewards of that which we have been given? And they want to be transparent and honest, and you can ask pretty much any question you could possibly think of, and they'll answer your questions around how we organize ourselves on a financial level. On the other side of it, we have these resources, our properties. They're all used for the ministry. Stratford's building isn't for Stratford. Cornwall's building isn't for Cornwall. It's for the ministry that we do together. Same with Montague, our equipment. We have a tech guy on staff, Winston, and it's been great watching him use all of the equipment as needed, regardless of the site that may come in need of a particular item to do a particular ministry that we have been called to do. We share all of these things together. That sounds like someone's in trouble in the nursery. So this is kind of the whole picture that we do together. We have one team of people at an elders level, at a finance level, at discipleship levels, all trying to shape who we are as a church family across all three sites, where we are all in this together as one big giant family. But then you break down into our local site, and we'll put this next slide up. You can actually see this one a little bit better. So on a site level, we have a facilities team. We'll just start there. Paul Dennis, I think you're here tonight. Paul and Bob and others, Ryan and John Levy and a whole host of Winnie Morrison, they make sure that the physical property is safe, working, lights on, lights fixed. I remember one morning, some of you were here, that projector broke down in kind of mid-service. And it was like watching a race car pit stop team before I even had the amen out. They were waiting at the door with the big orange ladder to come and change the light bulb. Their ministry is to make sure that this property, that everything is set to go for you when you arrive, that lights are on, windows are replaced, all of those things. And they serve in this capacity in wonderful ways around the skills and talents that God has given to them to see it through, everything from lawn care to trees being planted to salt and all kinds of stuff that we just do that we need to do on a facility level. We have hospitality people in our site. The muffins that you make, we don't buy those. We have people that show up Sunday mornings at 5 a.m. and they start cooking for you to increase community, to grow relationships, because neat things happen around food and drink. When you get a coffee in your hand and muffins in your mouth, it is amazing the relationships that are formed. Manners go out the window. It's just a really kind of fun thing to watch. Children come knowing that there's a snack. And when there's not muffins, parents can email us and like, please let us know when there's no muffins because we didn't give them a snack. Which that was a weird moment. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. We have children and youth here in our Cornwall site, as do all of our sites. But those are site-specific ministries where on a Sunday morning or this afternoon, we could have upwards of 150, 180 children in the building in other rooms. I think a couple weeks ago, Amy came home and she said there was 53 little ones in the nursery on that morning. And I'm like, that is ridiculous. 53. I'm glad I'm in here. But for those who serve in that ministry, it's a tremendous ministry for parents to come in, to drop their children off, know that they're going to be cared for well, loved on well, so that you can be instructed in the text of Scripture, so that our families can grow in all kinds of ways, is a beautiful way we do life together. Worship, Pastor Dana, 90% of his time is here. He does some work in our other sites, but we have a rich culture of worship ministry. Tremendous musicians, tremendous vocalists. We do all of these things together to pull people in for ministry purposes in all kinds of great and wonderful ways. We have site initiatives that would take on only in Cornwall or only in Stratford or only in Montague, but those are very, very rare. As most of the things we do, anyone can take advantage of all the things that we offer together. We have a ministry budget per site. So we have this church-wide thing. But then I kind of will use the phrase of like, each site has its own bag of money that the leaders who are leading ministries can spend that on the things that they need in the areas that they need them. So these are some of the ways the individual sites break down, where we do lots of things together, but then there's some kind of local autonomy, if you will, as to how we want to meet the needs of our community in the community that we find ourselves. As a church, we have organized ourselves this way, and it's not better than another church, and it's not worse than another church. It's just different. It's how, through the course of time, given where we have come from, given things that we really felt the Lord leading us to do, following the Spirit, it's how we've set ourselves up to function together as one body across these three different locations. We want to, in this particular model and method, always be really focused in on the purpose that which Jesus has given to us. We want to go out and make his name known. We want to go out and tell this incredible story of God's rescuing love that has come real in the work and person of Jesus Christ and what that means for those who respond by faith. And we've organized ourselves around this purpose in this particular way. Again, it's not right or wrong. It is what it is, based on just following and leading how we've evolved and morphed over the years from what was, at that time, years ago, 30-some-odd people to now, and this continually shocks me when I say it out loud, on a regular Sunday morning, there is well north of 700 people gathering at the same time in our three sites. That always floors me because it feels still small to me. Partly because of the space that we're in, partly because I still try to know all of your names and your kids' names. It's hard to do. I don't know if that's just I'm getting older and I forget some of your names. I think that's part of it. But it's just a great family to be a part of. Now, in this peculiar model that is Cornerstone, here's where this becomes kind of the application part of the conversation. How do you, as a Christ follower, leverage, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, but how do you leverage, how do you get the most out of the community of faith that you are connected to? One, it means a lot when we celebrate the wins of what God is doing, regardless of the site that it's happening in. That when we hear news from Montague or Stratford, we celebrate that because that is us. We celebrate those things in beautiful ways. So if God begins to do something remarkable in one of those places, we get to celebrate that and cheerlead that and to encourage them as they lean into what God is doing in their midst. We celebrate all of these different things. We show up at joint events. So when we do the IF conference or a men's day or whatever, anyone from all three sites can come to those and participate in those things. And men, if I may, our women put us to shame in those things. When they do an event, it's amazing. They show up, they're eager to be there, they grow, and I get to be on the receiving end of the stories that follow those particular moments. And it's always remarkable to me when we do these large events in the fall or around Christmas time, how many women from all three sites get together to share in the community of faith together, to grow in Christ, all of those kinds of things. So we sign up and show up for anything across all of our sites. I would encourage you from time to time to take a Sunday and visit one of the other places that you might go to Montague and show up and see, oh, this actually feels like Cornwall. The color schemes are the same, and Tyler is preaching similar things and the series, that you might get a glimpse of how God is at work in all of our different spaces. Go to Stratford. Well, there's only those two. Well, you go here. Well, you go here anyway. But take a Sunday and just visit and see this other part of the family that is gathering and doing things where most of us would never even realize or even know that it's unfolding. Another one, I would say this, it's not a loss if someone from Cornwall decides to go to Stratford or decides to go to Montague or vice versa. Sometimes in church life, there's a, we'll call it what it is, there's a selfishness around where people go. And if all of a sudden someone's like, you know what, I like a smaller feel, okay. If Stratford is where you, amazing, amazing. So it's not a loss when we see shifting. And I know some of our people struggle through that. If they're here and they go there, or if they start somewhere else and they go somewhere else, that's okay. Like, this is one big family together, and where we choose to set up camp and celebrate and grow is still a win in the grand scheme of things. Another part that I would say, if one of our sites is hurting, then we all hurt. There's a language all through the New Testament that talks about walking with one another, bearing each other's burdens, that we take it on ourselves. And in some very weird ways, over the last little while, we've been working through some things on a global scale. When one is struggling, when one is trying to sort out some things, that's felt across the whole thing. And that's a joy, that's a beautiful opportunity as a body of Christ to come together in some neat ways that other spaces wouldn't necessarily have those opportunities of support and care. And then I will say this, and we will almost close with this. Mark this day on your calendar on Mother's Day. I know it's already there for other reasons, but on Mother's Day, we are going to have a large church-wide service at UPEI. They're already set up for convocation. So one of our elders asked them to say, hey, do you think we could do church on Sunday there? And they're like, yeah, that would be great. So the whole gym is set up with 1,000 seats in the auditorium. All three sites are going to get together. We've secured a big nursery space there, children's space there. Bring kind of a picnic lunch. Bring your swimsuits, because after, those that want to go to the kiddie pool can go to the kiddie pool for a swim. Baptize if you're into that, whatever. But that morning, all three sites together are going to celebrate what God is doing on the island, what he's doing in our midst, and fill the gym and sing and invite for just a great morning of celebration. And we don't have these opportunities very often. It is very rare to get all three sites together on the same day. And two driving factors for that is the only place that can house us is the Delta or the Confederation of the Arts, that center. And it's really expensive. and it's not worth the amount of money to do that one service. This one is a unique opportunity, which was kind of a special, given the convocation, given that it's empty, given that they can make some money as a school at an opportunity where they wouldn't necessarily pay out rentals. But we look forward to that morning together where Stratford, Montague, Cornwall, all together in this incredible auditorium to sing, to preach, to pray, to celebrate all that God is doing in our midst. And I would encourage you to come and be there for that day where on a very rare moment, it's this glimpse into, oh, this is the whole family gathering together to make much of the name of Christ in our midst. I love the conversations of church. I love the conversations of the purpose at which it's been given by Christ himself. I love the struggle of how churches organize itself. I love this place because it's not bound to or wed to a this is how we do it in 2004, so we always have to do this in 2020 or 21. I love the fact that there is an ability to shift on the fly. I love that there is a freedom to make necessary changes based on where we feel God moving and directing and doors that he opens and doors that he closes. I love that fact. I love the fact that we continually try together through the way we're organized, respond to needs in our town for the glory of God. I know that this past Wednesday, there was a group that met here because they're about to go into the school system and provide tutoring, which is remarkable. That it's in the school newsletter that retired teachers from Cornerstone Baptist Church have offered to freely come in and tutor children that are in need of extra help. I love the fact that these kinds of things through the systems, through all of that we are, that we're able to do this on an ongoing basis to further the work that Christ has called us to. It is a joy to be a part of this church family. I love being a part of this church family. Does it have days that can be frustrating? Yes, it's called Monday. And Monday, we spend some time kind of with foam bats in a foam room. And then around 10:30, we emerge and we focus on the week ahead of us. People are amazing. And the people that God draws are amazing. The stories they have are amazing in ways that remarkable stories of God's grace in their life. And then amazing of how on earth can life bring about such layers of brokenness in one human. And in the middle of that, trying to figure out how do we minister well to people, regardless of where we're from, regardless of our story, regardless of our situations we're in, how do we walk well with people for the glory of God? This continues to be our focus. It continues to be why we kind of get up in the morning. It's a joy to know that there's a lot of you that are in that same space, and you give a lot of freedom to us as the staff. You have a trust of the elders, which is unique and special, where most, if I can be honest, most church families view themselves out of a weird, we are the official opposition to the elected leaders. This is my Baptist background, that every time that a deacon's board or an elder's board or staff would move in a direction, the official opposition would show its beautiful face, and I'm being sarcastic when I say beautiful. But I love the fact that, generally speaking, you ask good questions. You want us to be thoughtful. You want us to be right in our approaches. And you often lean in and celebrate those moments of where we're going. And I know at our annual meeting, again, another day, we're marking on your calendar to be here, because the conversation that we're in the middle of is a significant one, and we are inviting you into it for direction, for sensing God's Spirit as we look out to this next year and for years to come in some beautiful ways. I'm going to invite Dana and the crew back onto the stage to lead us in another song. The church is a beautiful thing. It's the very vehicle by which God has said, take the story of my life, take the news of my resurrection into the world, and function as a group of people that are welcoming others, that are putting on the nature and character of Christ, that we are growing in him while we are inviting people in to what we are about for the glory of God. And it's a joy to do it here. It's a pleasure to do it here. And I look forward to just a year ahead and years to come where we're seeking God's direction to fulfill the purpose through this weird place called Cornerstone. That's home. That's a blessing in all kinds of ways. Would you pray with me? Our gracious and heavenly Father, your church is this incredible organism that has been around for 2,000 years. And when I think about the mistakes that the church has made over 2,000 years, oh, there is no doubt that you are in fact driving it, because we've just made a mess of it in so many ways. And yet when one closes down over here, you earth and birth one over there. People, men and women who love you, who are following your son by faith, who are enthralled with you, who are filled with your spirit, that their lives are being shaped and transformed, that it's peculiar, that we are a peculiar people to a world that looks at us as though there's some bizarre things about these churchgoers, these Christ followers. May we always be a bizarre, peculiar people. May we always invoke questions of why and what are you and who is this person of Jesus? May we be ready in and out of season to give an account for the one that we follow, that we would explain it well, that we would teach each other and remind each other of the gospel that we declare, the one that we follow, and the invitation that is broad and beautiful to anyone and everyone to respond to this rescuing love of God. I thank you for this afternoon, that we can do this together as a church across all three sites for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.